That terrible text on which I hate to preach. Those are not my words, but those of Martin Luther about today's parable. I must say that I agree with him, though, as many others do. That story is a real mess. That ugly parable doesn't make sense, as some of the comments I've read. And the story is indeed very odd. For example, why would all these people who had accepted the original invitation refuse now to attend a royal banquet when they are told that everything is ready for them? And isn't it totally over the top to kill those guests and burn their city for refusing that invitation? But there is more. Following that carnage, the king decides to get anybody he can find to come to the banquet, the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, as the Luke version says. But then, noticing that one of those wretched souls who has been compelled to come is not wearing posh clothes, he exerts a violent punishment against him. There is really nothing proportionate or balanced or even edifying in this parable, is there? And yet, for centuries, overwhelmingly, the tradition has considered and continued to consider this parable as an allegory, interpreting the king as a generous God, the son as Jesus, the bride as the Christian church, the servants as the prophets, and the people who refuse to come as the Jews, justifying thus the entrenched anti-Semitism of the church. The story really doesn't make much sense, because if you go down that allegorical path, the temptation is always to push it so far that the logic of the story breaks down entirely, and you risk finding yourself in the realm of the absurd. Indeed, if the king is supposed to show us the way of God, it's not a God that I would give my allegiance to. And if this story is an example of the good news of the gospel, well, I say thank you, but no thanks. Such a depiction of the kingdom of God is not just jarring, but frankly ridiculous and unacceptable. However, we know that parables are designed to shock, challenge, and disturb us, not to tell banal and harmless moralistic little tales that makes us feel good. As the great parable scholar John Dominic Crossan says, parables are world disruptors. This is why we see a steward praised for being dishonest, or a shepherd leaving 99 sheep unprotected to chase after one stray, and many more strange tales like that. So, if we don't resort to any allegorical interpretation and won't entertain the idea of God as a violent tyrant, we still need to find the challenging bit, and therefore to look at the story from a different perspective. So here's an alternative interpretation that makes sense to me, and of course I hope to you. What if those invited refused to come to the banquet as a sign of protest? What if they did not drop everything to go to the king's invitation because his rule displayed no justice whatsoever? What if they refused to celebrate with a king because that king is not worthy of the title? What if we would adopt a more accurate translation of the first sentence, and instead of saying, the kingdom of God, the rule of God is like, we say, the rule of God can be compared with the rule of that king. In other words, if you compare the rule of God to the rule of that king, you get a vastly different image. In such a scenario then, refusing the invitation is an act of rebellion from people who are defying a king they despise. They are deliberately treating the king's authority with contempt. They know full well that their behavior will be understood as insurrection. This is what they intend. And those who kill the king's messengers only make their intention known more emphatically. But of course, the king responds as kings do to insurrection with more repression and more violence. Similarly, when the king invites everybody and anybody from the streets, he's not representing the infinite generosity of God, but rather he's saving face and showing that the thing that matters to him is a full banquet hall, which will display his great popularity and shows his honor. Weddings in the ancient world were always opportunities to gain honor. It is still the case nowadays in many collective societies, where you have to invite as many guests as you can and commonly reach hundreds. This interpretation also explains the king's violent reaction to the fellow who fails to change into his Sunday best. This man, who's been compelled to come, has only one way of showing his rebellion. He comes to the wedding because he's obliged to, but by wearing his everyday working clothes, he shows disdain for the feast and for the king. This is a courageous but indirect and somewhat covert form of protest, often the only form available to oppress people. And I can give you an example of this, which happened in my own family in 1940, when France was defeated and Paris in particular was occupied and humiliated, with a huge swastika floating on both the Arc de Triomphe and the Eiffel Tower, and German troops parading on the Champs-Élysées. In this atmosphere of intense humiliation, my mother and two of her friends decided they would walk the entire length of the Champs-Élysées, arms in arm, wearing a dress in each of the three colors of the French flag. So my mother wore blue, her next friend white, and the third red, thus forming the French tricolor flag. They walked proudly, smiling at the many passers-by who applauded them. Till, that is, a French gendarme said to them, "I know what you are doing, but I would not do this for too long if I were you." So they stopped. But that small act of defiance made them and many others feel good. And my mother always chuckled happily when she recounted her little stunt. But to go back to our parable proper, what does it all mean for us? Well, it is a story of indirect rebellion against the way the world works, against the way that king rules, in total contrast to how God rules. In other words, to establish peace and social justice here on earth, we have to act in a totally different way from that tyrant king and take every opportunity to rebel against him and his class in any way we can, small or big. Like so many parables, this one has major political resonances. Like the parable of the talents or the unjust steward or the wicked tenants, it unmasks the tyranny of the leaders of the time, the unjust systems they perpetrate, and how violence breeds more violence. And boy, do we still see this nowadays in many parts of our world. These parables represent, therefore, a sharp, albeit covert, critique of the tyrannical and violent practice of power, which Jesus denounced in order to encourage his listeners and us too, 2,000 years later, to fight for justice and to establish the rule of God here on earth. Amen.